Back here, 7 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. And it's done. Got that.
That was a quick song.
That's what we get.
Got that generic music.
Like 30 seconds.
That's right.
That ended fast.
That would be how my Tuesdays would go. No shame in the game, you know?
Absolutely.
Just in and out like like a fast food restaurant, you know, just got to work on that. Tonight, you have Wolves versus Thunder. I suggest people that want to see some new and improved NBA faces watch this game, 7:30 our time. So 7:41, the game will tip off. Ant versus SGA. That's the story, right?
It's awesome.
Nothing else?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's cool is like seven years in a row, you're going to have seven different champions in the NBA. I think that's the biggest selling point of the Final Four of this is that we're getting exactly what we want in sports until we get it and then we don't want it, which is parity and other teams having an opportunity to win a championship. Because people will look at this series and they go, nah, it's not LeBron. It's not the Lakers. It's not a household name. Yeah, but this is exactly what we want in sports, at least what we strive to kind of have in sports is that parity. The NFL falsely sells parity. There is zero parity in the NFL. None whatsoever. The Chiefs, I mean, Carrington says it all the time. You look at the last eight Super Bowls, it's either Mahomes or Brady. It's the same people in these championship games. Baseball has great parity. They don't sell it at all. They don't have an idea of how to sell parity, but baseball does have parity. The NBA's got the only sport that sells parity is the one that doesn't have parity, and that's the National Football League. But everybody thinks, oh, it's all equal and equitable in the NFL. And now here in the NBA, you've got four teams left. Three of them have never won a championship, but one hasn't won it in 60 years.
Yeah, 52
so
years.
So, I mean, like this is everything the casual sports fan should want in a sport where you're seeing new teams, you're seeing younger star players, and I guarantee you people will look at it and go, I'd rather see the Lakers and Mavericks, but you're getting what we've always wanted in sports. I think we've wanted parity in sports, right?
I think so.
Well, Mac wants dynasties.
Do you think it's better long term for the sport?
For
short term, I think this is great for the NBA. Long term, I think dynasties and big markets are better. I'm just thinking from personal experience.
I agree with that.
10 years old,
yeah.
I turned on the NBA first time. It was Lakers Celtics. I was locked, hooked from there.
Right, exactly.
Little boy.
And so I just think that we talk about parity in sports, but we really don't want it. You don't want a Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes. You didn't really want a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. You really don't want an NBA Final Four without LeBron, you know? Like, I mean, those are just the things that you kind of looked at over the years. Like, you want to see the best of the best participating. And I think we do have four really good teams and whatnot, but it's going to be interesting to see the television ratings on this one. Obviously, the Knicks series will be fantastic because it's New York, but I'm interested to see what the West does and see if that kind of dissipates compared to what happens, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
The renaissance of the point guard position, as one Colin Cowherd said that yesterday. Four of the top five point guards are playing in the Final Four in the NBA?
Don't you need a point guard? Isn't it like having a good quarterback in the NFL?
Like if
you
running back.
You know, if you don't have that guy.
I would say the quarterback in the NBA would be like the small forward.
Small forward
so
now?
So is he saying Conley for the Wolves and he's saying SGA for the Thunder? Do you remember?
He said SGA, Halliburton, and Brunson.
For sure. I agree with Halliburton and Brunson.
And then he kind of put Ant as a point guard-ish because he's just a hybrid. He just plays like he'll bring the ball up and people just think because you bring the ball up, you're a point guard. Well, Chet Holmgren will bring the ball up 10 times in tonight's game. I promise you that.
Of course.
And you'll be like, are his legs fine?
Is he dying?
Those legs are so
brutal,
thin.
Dude.
I mean, it's hard to look at, man.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how is he not going to get snapped in half?
He looks like a baby deer every time. Like he's trying to learn how to walk when he gets a rebound. I'm like,
yeah, it's tough looking at those legs.
Speaking of a guy who had some nice legs, he got into one last night.
The 1-0 pitch. Pasquantino launches it deep to right field. Montos is out of the track. Looks up. It's out of here. Out of the second row bleachers up above the high right field fence. Vinny Pasquantino clears the bricks and scores the first two runs of the game with one swing. 2-0 Royals in the top of the eighth inning.
So in his gray uniform with Kansas City across the chest in blue script, while donning a blue batting cap.
To be fair, you needed that last night from Jake Eisenberg because when he hit that ball, there was technical difficulty, so nobody got to see
the home
run.
Nobody saw it, yeah.
Right.
I watched it this morning on the app on MLB's app. That was a hell of a shot.
I was like, all right, well, that's good. But no, last night, the Royals took care of business in game one on the West Coast. Again, they will play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in San Francisco, have an off day, and then go play the hottest team in the major leagues, in the AL at least, and probably the major leagues, those Minnesota Twins. But last night, they get win 27. Chris Bubich was insane. The hit that was overruled from the air. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he had a no-hitter going into the seventh.
Yep.
He's been dominant. He's had that electric stuff on the mound. Vinny Pasquantino, two-run shot. You got a little insurance run in the ninth with a third run from, I believe, off the bat of Michael Garcia. I could be wrong about that.
That was about time I was kind of dozing off as well. Yeah.
And then
once they got up 2-0, it was pretty much safe to go to bed last night. And that's good with the Royals right now. You only need a couple of runs to give yourself an opportunity to win with this staff. It's playoff baseball in May.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. We want to see more offense. I'm not going to sit here and complain about the Royals getting a two-run home run from Vinny Pasquantino last night. That's fine for me.
Isn't that how they won a game in Anaheim in the playoffs with Moose hitting like a late home run and they won a game? Like, remember that Anaheim series? Nobody really watched that because it was over the weekend. Every game was at 9 o'clock at night. We were all drunk. And that's like the series that nobody really remembers of the 2 years of the playoff run. But that reminded me kind of that game where Moose hit a big home run. Like, I think it was even an extra inning home run, and if I'm not mistaken, where they were able to win that game, that second game in Anaheim, and then come back to Kansas City and pretty much close this thing out. And again, nobody remembers that series because it was over before it got started against the Anaheim Angels. And so you win games like that, that's a playoff type of win last night for the Royals in a I don't want to say a hostile environment, but I've heard from people that, you know, San Francisco wasn't exactly kind when we were there in the World Series trying to rock the buses back and forth and whatnot. So you go out to that type of environment against a good baseball team. You beat a really good pitcher last night. That's a hell of a playoff win in my book last night.
Concerning point last night, as we talked about yesterday, Salvador Perez, over 4-2 strikeouts, hitting .218. Is there a moment in a veteran's career that you've watched before where you're like, that's not the guy I used to watch?
Yeah.
And are we there with Sal?
We're getting close, I think. Closer right now than we have been, obviously. And for me to say that means it's getting to that point where
I would like to see Wednesday take a day and Thursday take a day.
Yeah.
Because he rakes at Target Field.
Yeah, he does. So that's right. He owns that place.
You know, like we were talking the other day about me and my golf game, how it's like struggling. Maybe it's time for me to go play one of those easy courses that I can chalk up pretty well to get that confidence back and take a few days off. Salvador
maybe
Perez.
The Top Golf in a couple of weeks for Dayton's Foundation. Yeah. You find a way to get your swing back a little bit and then you fixed it there.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Salvador Perez, you know, play again tonight. I understand, you know, you're the captain, you know, it's probably hard to get you out of that lineup, but then maybe take Wednesday off, which is a 2:45 getaway game. Then you have Thursday off, and then Minnesota's where you rake all the time at Target Field, and maybe that's where you turn around.
And maybe you do. And yeah, I'm willing to see what he could do this week. And I'm not ready to, you know, write Salvi off like Carrington was last year. But I am like looking at it and going, I'm watching every at bat a lot closer with Salvador Perez now. I found myself last night, I don't know about you guys, like really just watching his at bat and seeing if you could figure out it. Not that we can, but like what's going on. And sometimes, look, man, this is life. People get old. It happens. Father Time has been undefeated. And, you know, we saw Peyton Manning, you know, go down the hill.
That's
we saw
the one I always remember.
Emmett Smith looked really bad when he played for the Arizona Cardinals for that one season. I mean, there are instances of it. You could even look at the guy who played quarterback last year in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins, as somebody who kind of lost it right away. Like he left Minnesota and then went to Atlanta and never really found a back, any Dallas quarterback. So, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of players who have done that. When it happens to your guy, though, it's like you don't want to admit it. You don't want to be the first one to that party. And I think we'll all probably go kicking and screaming when it comes to Salvador Perez. But, I mean, it's not that you got to take him out of the lineup. It's now you got to start moving him down in the lineup and not giving him the amount of at bats that you get batting fourth in the lineup. Put him at seventh, put him at eighth, see if that kind of changes things a little bit, and then kind of reevaluate where you are, because I don't think you take him out of the lineup because I think he still brings a lot to the team from a defensive standpoint and just being a Salvi, you know, being Salvi.
I think seventh is where he needs to be. I think you go India one, Bobby two, Vinny 3, Garcia 4.
Well, Garcia's your best hitter right now. He needs to be in that cleanup spot or the leadoff spot.
I would put better than Bobby?
I think so right now. Yeah, Garcia's seeing everything great. I mean, he's dominating right now. Bobby's only hitting like .305 or something like that. It's not like he's knocking the cover off the ball. Garcia gives me that feel like I know he's going to come through. So I would either have him lead off or hit fourth at this point.
.305 is pretty solid in a sport where nobody can hit. But
yeah.
So I would go India, Bobby, Vinny.
But like Mahomes, you expect more than .305 out of Bobby Witt.
Yeah, I mean Garcia's only hitting .306. So
And he's not supposed to be the guy hitting 306, right? I mean, he's
also
like
not Bobby Witt, where they're not trying to pitch to him.
Well, I mean, how much longer are they going to start pitching to Garcia, you know?
Hopefully longer. But no, I'd have Garcia hit fourth. I would have Waters hit fifth. No, I'd have Mark Canna hit fifth. I'd have Waters hit sixth. Salvi hit 7, 8, 9. You can do whatever you want with that with Isbell and whoever else is in that spot. Massey or
yeah, Massey
Renfro
needs to be ninth all the time. You know, he needs to be your nine guy. I like Isbell again with another big moment last night that we just never talk about. Like, but that's quietly your unsung hero for this baseball team.
Coming up on the other side, the best-kept secret for the Chiefs. Mac had it first. We'll explain why. Plus, we'll get into one word with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
On ESPN, when the graphic says, will Giants be playoff contenders in 2025? Did Schrager look at their first 7 weeks of the season? Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Their head coach may not be there for the eighth week of the season, let alone being a playoff contender.
I don't know, man. Scataboo and Jackson Dart headbutt each other every morning.
I tell you what, though, doing it like that,
you need that. You need that, because look, Stafford and Cooper Kupp, they were eating breakfast every day together. What'd they do? Won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's where it starts, man. You got to have that rapport. Mahomes and Kelsey. You got to have that rapport.
Coors Lights together.
Yeah. You've got to have that rapport.
Tom Brady, Gronkowski.
That's right.
Slugging Botox together. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, the drunkest we've ever seen Tom Brady was around Rob Gronkowski throwing Super Bowl trophies in the ocean in Tampa.
That's right.
Wild times.
That was crazy that he did that.
No doubt. So, best kept secret. Bleacher Report did an article of every guy on every roster, or the one guy on every roster that might be the best kept secret for a team. Mac, who's the guy you said was your boy this year?
My boy was Jaden Hicks.
I didn't
this
know
year.
You wrote for Bleacher Report.
Let me ask you this: at the safety position, what do you have to do to get that notice to win that what would make him no longer a kept secret?
3 weeks in the season,
yeah, being a starter and making good plays. I think he's versatile in Spags' offense. So we saw glimpses of him out of the box, saw glimpses of him in the back guarding, you know, wide receivers in the deep third and up front blitzing. So he can just do a lot.
How does the Bob Fesco of Phoenix, let's just say, throughout L.A., wherever the case may be, 48-year-old dude me, know that Jaden Hicks is a star, if you will, in the NFL? Because that's what kind of where I'm looking at this one. Like, if you're in another city and you see this list, you're like, I don't know who that is. What does a safety have to do to take that next step? Is it interceptions?
No.
Is it being a dude that's like a missile and destroys people at the line of scrimmage? Is it... Again, interceptions, touchdowns, pick sixes, what makes that guy a household name at that position?
So what it will be is I would say what I would love to see his ceiling be is like Marlon Humphreys from Baltimore. And those guys that play that position in that style, their lockdown opponent is the tight end. The tight end is a resurgence of a position in football where they are now athletic AF, right? Mm-hmm. Kelsey, Gates, kind of like... You know, start of that realm of like the basket, Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharpe, you know, the basketball player turned football player. Now we're seeing tight ends in the league, Bowers, Laporta, Mark Andrews, guys like that kind of still coming around and Kittle. Mm-hmm. And it's a big league. A guy like Jaden Hicks and a Spags offense where maybe now, you know, McDuffie can get back into the slot and cover that receiver. You let Hicks go out there and be the center fielder and keep an eye on those tight ends. And then maybe every once in a while when somebody gets cooked deep, he can go out there and distract a play that can happen. That's how he becomes noticeable, because you would look at the Chiefs defense and be like, well, who do they have out here? And then somebody will make a graphic or make a stat. Maybe it's Pro Football Focus. Maybe it's Next Gen, NFL Nerd. And they'll say the reason the Chiefs defense is holding opponents under 20 points a game, their biggest kept secret, Jaden Hicks, who was a rookie 2 years ago that Brett Veach drafted knowing that Justin Reed was going to move out. Justin Reed is no longer here. He's who Bob and Phoenix at 48 knows who that is, because they've been in the league that long. Oh, they don't have Justin Reed anymore. How come they don't have anymore? Because Hicks is out here just being a stud center fielder for the Chiefs defense
and
secondary.
And you've actually just made my point for me. We need the media to jump on this to tell us that these guys are good.
The Chiefs being who they are helps too.
Yeah, absolutely does. There's no question about that. They're going to get the love. Like, we need Peter Schrager or Kay Adams or whoever the case may be on a national level that you respect to start beating the drum for Jaden Hicks. And I think it works that way at any team at the safety position, right? Like, that's a hard position to judge. Like, you could look at a linebacker and go, that guy's got double-digit sacks, or a defensive lineman and talk about sacks all day, or maybe make a play in the backfield. Obviously, with the offensive players, you can judge based on statistical analysis if you want to go that way, but you can see those guys making plays. Left tackle's easy to judge. It's hard to judge whether or not somebody's a good guard or center. I mean, you really don't know. You're just taking everybody's word for it, right? That's why when you make that first Pro Bowl, you're just grandfathered in because nobody knows what they're looking at.
Sorry, Kyle Hamilton is who I was mentioning, not Marlon.
Yeah, with safety, gotcha. Yeah.
At that position, but I just think, like, and I'm not, you know, argue. I'm just asking, like, how do we get this guy out here to let everybody know that he's a pretty damn good player at that position? Because I think that's a hard position. Like, people will see you if you suck, but if you do your job, nobody notices because you're doing your job and you're not having an impact on the game in a negative way. You're having an impact in a positive way, and a lot of the times we don't focus on that because maybe he's got the tight end covered down the field and the quarterback dumps one off and the guy drops and goes, that guy dropped an easy pass. Meanwhile, Jaden Hicks is out here going, this whole part of the field is taken care of because I've got everybody covered. But yet we don't see that on the game. You need Romo to bloviate about him, right? Or who's the guy that slides in? Collinsworth. You need him, not Jack. Yeah. Not Jack. Not Jack, Chris. You got to have him out there bloviating about it. Or, you know, Aikman, some of the big name guys, once they get on board, Jaden Hicks will become a household name.
Oh, Mike, Jaden Hicks, he's just so
Stop it. How many times are we going to see stop it?
But I think they'll start talking about it, like you said, when they start seeing it in the Chiefs defense. Being that safety that we've seen now two times in a row with Matthew and Reed, it's that versatility. It's that ability to do so many different things to where it's almost like you can't miss them because they're going to guard that tight end. They're going to be guarding a deep ball. They're going to be up blitzing. They're going to have a hit stick behind the line on a screen pass. So I think you noticed Reed. I think you'll notice Hicks really soon too. It's good to have. This is a national. This is, you know, this is some recognition. Bleacher Report
question. Yeah. And I think also, too, I think a lot of people are trending towards Jaden Hicks because we know everybody else on this roster right now. And he's the new guy, right?
It's true.
Obviously the new guy. For me, I think when we talk about best kept secrets, I'm hoping. Now, I don't know if this is the right answer. I'm hoping it's Noah Gray. They paid that guy for a reason. I'm still trying to figure out that one, right? That was still an odd payment to a player that didn't need to be made. It wasn't like baseball and you're buying out an arbitration year or anything like that. They gave Noah Gray that kind of money, and I hope he becomes their best kept secret this year and we see him blossom so people can stop saying there's nobody to replace Travis Kelce, which again, you're not going to replace Travis Kelce no matter who you have out there on the field. But I hope Noah Gray becomes that guy and finally kind of cements himself as, all right, that's a real, because he started to last year, had a really nice year last year. I hope he takes it to that next level, because I still don't think people know who Noah Gray is when you have Travis Kelce. You shouldn't if you're outside the
it's
area.
It's almost an oxymoron to say the Chiefs could even have a best-kept secret when they're on TV all the time, talked about all the time, seriously. Where you're like, how can they even have a secret? We're exposed. The Chiefs have, what, 5 primetime games in the first 8 games of the season?
Nuts.
Or first 9 games of the season? So, again, like, it's hard to have a best-kept secret. So I think part of why this is the name on the list is, you know who the cornerbacks are, right? You know who the wide receivers are. You know who the running backs are. The offensive line is there. There's no secret on the defensive line. So who is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that's replacing the 10-year vet in Justin Reed? Mm-hmm. All right, that's a secret. We don't really know much about him. If you watched Chiefs last year, you know he was laying wood, and he was able to pick the ball off. He was the guy that he literally played center field last year.
He had 3 picks last year.
Yeah, and what do the Chiefs lack? Interceptions.
Interceptions.
What does he provide? Interceptions. Yeah. So when they try to throw that ball deep on the Chiefs, beeline to that end zone and pick it off, because that's what he was doing last year, playing center field. I love that. I've always loved the safety position.
Yeah, he'll
if he's
be fun.
Jordan Poyer, I'll buy his jersey.
Yes.
Jordan Poyer, stud,
he's
Minnesota.
A beast, yeah.
Stud. And if he can be that, like, because he's not Buda Baker. He's not like a hybrid corner safety where
is
you
that
can
guy
just,
still in the league?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. He's like
the haven't heard that good name player in a while. Yeah. Yeah,
since DK Metcalf chased him down.
Yeah,
it's a great play.
Freak play. One of the greatest plays we've ever seen.
Athletic feat.
Oh my God! Like that's better than any kind of football play. That whatever that him chasing that dude down, unbelievable.
Probably should have taken Mecole Hardman over him. Still hurts. That's the only time I've ever questioned Brett Veach. Only time.
Yeah, that was where I'm like,
if Tyreek Hill didn't get into trouble.
I get it, but I'm like, Tyreek Hill's best specialty at the time was the deep ball. What are we saying today in 2025 about DK Metcalf? Mac?
He's good at the deep ball.
Okay. We saw the picture of him and AJ Brown.
Imagine how many Super Bowls we could have had.
Oh. Jeez. I mean, imagine.
We could have gone to three in a row.
Imagine looking at that photo of him and AJ Brown in the locker room and being like, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's got it. Seeing the 40-yard dash result and being like, I don't know if he's got it. Character concerns? Possibly. But, boy, life in paradise is pretty easy.
It was a tough draft, man. And I'll defend him to that day. If Tyreek Hill wasn't a jerk off the field, we wouldn't have been in that situation.
That's just the one time in my life where I'm like, it's right there.
Yeah.
It's the guy's got
a turtle
shell for a six-pack.
God forbid that general manager made one mistake.
But it's okay to make a little bit of a comment about the one. And, again, that's the main point. The one time. The one
it's unbelievable.
Time, yeah, it's one time I've ever been like, oh gosh, man, like,
yeah,
the results. It's like
I had that same feeling with the Sky Moore pictures because I loved George Pickens at the time. So it was the same round, same position, same thing.
But at the end of the day, would we have been better as a team
with George Pickens? Yeah,
probably. We would have got more Super Bowls.
I don't think George is that way if he's here.
Yeah,
I trust.
No. I mean, just talking about any other
Super Bowls. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like the results are
three in the.
I know.
The drive,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of hard to do better than what they've done.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two. Three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All righty, let's do it. One word. We're talking about deep ball receivers, talking about receivers. Let's talk about some deep ball numbers.
Oh, no. It's May 20th, and the Mac is officially out on baseball.
One word, irrelevant, boring, nonsensical, useless.
I was up till 10:45 last night watching our boys.
No, I know, I'm just messing with you.
Get a dub. All right. Catchable ball percentage on deep balls. This is 20 or more air yards. That is what is considered a deep pass. 50% catchable ball percentage. He was off target 47% of the time. That respectively ranks 25th and 26th among 33 quarterbacks in the National Football League. One word on Mahomes' deep ball numbers from last year.
Irrelevant.
I'm going to go with anomaly. Because I think that was the first year where we saw Mahomes kind of have a hiccup in his game where, you know, maybe the driver was not around the full year for Rory McIlroy, but he was still hitting his wedges, still hitting his irons pretty good, but just couldn't get off the tee box. The numbers were drastic. You know, maybe just fell below in the average, you know, accuracy of driving. But then came back the next year and completed a career grand slam, got the green jacket. Okay, it was 1 year of bad driving the golf ball for Rory. It's one bad year of Mahomes on the ball deep. Guys are still dropping the ball. But, yeah, you got to fix it. It's one bad year, so it's an anomaly. Outlier, I'd say, as well. It just, you know.
I agree.
Sad to see because of where he went from, like, all power, never had an issue, to now they got a dink and dunk. Now he hasn't done it for a while. And then this year it's like, oh, well, he wasn't great at it this year. It's like, I'll take it as an anomaly.
I agree. Let's break the top off again. He was 13th in attempts, and he was 30th on percentage of throws targeting the first read, which means he did not target the first read.
How do we know what his first read is? Do people have the game plan to see that? I'm just asking because I have no idea what his first read is.
I'd assume they'd be going off of where he's looking and looking to throw, and then, going off his eyes. But you're right.
He doesn't look at the guy when he throws it.
Exactly.
I mean, this is nonsensical for me.
I say that to say 78% is low. You should be in the 90s. That means guys are not open.
Breaking up was hard in the 90s.
One word. Here we go. Royals close win last night. One word.
Playoffs. It's a playoff-style win for me.
Fun. It was quick. It was fun. It was dominant. Vinny hit a two-run homer to get you in the lead. Bubich, right? Stud on the mound.
It was fun for me. It was quick.
Yeah.
I like that on the West Coast.
It was a great game.
Seventh inning, it's 8:50. Awesome. I'm like, all right, perfect. So, yeah, awesome, fun, playoff-ish. Too bad that wasn't there in 2014.
One word on Vinny P. went yard last night. One word on him getting going.
Stella.
Oh.
He's right. Got his groove back a little bit.
One word to see him get going. Perfect. Because when you look at Salvador Perez, who's hitting fourth and not pulling his weight right now because maybe he's a little banged up, maybe he's a little older, maybe he doesn't have what he used to have, the bat's a little slower. It's perfect to see that because then you can go India, Bobby, Vinny, Michael.
Makes everybody better when he's producing.
It's huge. Yeah, ceiling of this team. Gonna need to have him hitting. One word on going back to the gridiron here. One word on a possible tush push ban.
Well, it's not a tush push ban now. It's a pushing of the players ban all over the field. I'm out. Leave the rule alone. Stop. Out. That's my one word. Out. You're now trying to. This is like trying to get something passed in Congress where you're giving everybody something that they want in order to get a bill passed. Stop it. Vote no. Just vote no on this thing and be done with it. Don't ban the tush push. Learn how to stop it, man. Are we going to get rid of everything in life that makes us, you know, have to work hard? Oh, well, we can't stop it, so let's ban it. Like, are we going to have games left? Are we just going to ban? Are we going to ban the dunk in basketball?
Dustman,
I would say it's dumb. Like, one thing I am happy about is that the Chiefs aren't one of the teams that went out there and tried to get the rule change. Because it seems like every time the Chiefs do a rule change, it doesn't pass. Then other teams do it because it happened to the Chiefs. Chiefs got beat by the tush push in the Super Bowl. It happened to them in the Super Bowl, I think, more than once.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see the Chiefs come out here and be like, yeah, well, we'd like to see that move go away. Now, I don't know if their part of their owner is voting no against it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's not being vocal about it. It's the Lions and the Packers that are.
He's working on a stadium in Kansas right now. I'm tired of changing all of these rules when teams win championships in the NFL.
But it's not fair, Bob.
We want to change the rules that made them, quote unquote, champions, right? Overtime.
I think that rule should have changed.
I'm a totally anti of everything they've done with overtime. I absolutely hate it. Wow, you had 60 minutes to win a game. Take care of business. And, you know, you don't see many ties in the NFL. We just don't need to change overtime. We don't need to be equitable all the time with everything. It's getting a little ridiculous. Oh, well, we got to be fair. You know, so learn how to stop something. Just because a team wins a Super Bowl or whatever the case may be, doesn't mean we have to try to go out and change the rules that helped that team. The Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl because of the tush push. They won it because they were the better team that day and the better team across the entire year. That's one play in a game. I'm so over changing the rules of the game because one team has found a way to go out there and be better than you. So instead of, you know, going back into the lab, as they like to say, and getting better, we just want to change the rule because it's easier that way.
When they couldn't get the votes they needed for just tush push. So as your point, well, they're like, oh, well, just pushing players in general. Now come on our side. Come on. They need 24 votes to pass.
I love when Trey's down there pushing dudes forward,
dude,
man.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's badass. It's great. A little bit of rugby into football. Yeah.
I do kind of hate the running back where, like, we don't know if it's player safety, and then all of a sudden two linemen come from behind and push them for 10 more yards. I'm like, field. Like, that to me is not the tush push. The tush push is organized, methodical, been you know, studied.
No momentum.
Whereas, like, even if it is Kareem Hunt on, like, the 20-yard line, all of a sudden here comes half his line to push him, and he's like, he's not going down. He got 10 more yards. Yeah, because they pushed him all the way there. It's like, I don't know about.
Well, that's up to the referees to blow the whistle, though, on your player safety thing, right?
Yeah, like, they just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's still going. No, his legs aren't moving. Yeah. He's being dragged to the next yard line.
Yeah, some consistency there would be huge. Yeah. I agree. One word, we talked about this the other day, flag football in the Olympics. It is now going to be coming to a vote on whether or not NFL players will be allowed to participate. Yeah. One word.
Shefty says it's going to pass, and I think awesome. This is going to be fun, man. This is going to be so much fun to see NFL. How great was basketball last year?
It was dope.
Right? How cool amazing will baseball be if they do it the right way? Or the hockey, the international stuff. People love this stuff. So I think it's great for the NFL. You want to continue to grow your brand. This is a golden opportunity, no pun intended, to go out there and grow your brand in front of an international audience. I love it.
Kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
Yeah, I think it's like revolutionary, right? Like we might see a lot of fun. Golf in the Olympics has been great, at least from my perspective, because it's kind of, I don't know, match play-ish, one-on-one, country versus country. Be fun to watch like another country come in and put some guys here. Like you think of like Jamaica. Like imagine how fun that flag
their
football
bobsled team was great back in the day.
John Candy, RIP. And again, it's not going to be for everybody. Just like everybody has, you know, they may not like it, but coming up, it is a Tuesday. So Bob has a threesome for you at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get to Bob's Tuesday threesome here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Man, that's a really good threesome.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Yes, it is.
I got in the car yesterday. I had some aggressive, like, 90s school metal play, and my daughter's like, enough. Please stop. Turn this off now.
Team Little Fesco right there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sorry. I'm driving you to Jasper's to get your first day of work. You're going to listen to what I'm going to listen to.
Oh, nice. First day.
That's right.
Do you remember what the song was?
I don't. I'd have to go back in the Apple Music and look and see what it was.
Limp Bizkit or something?
I don't remember what it was.
Just one of those days.
For the nookie. Come on. Come on. So you could take that cookie.
Dad, who are you and where did you go?
That's right.
Pulls out
back
a pack.
To Neil Diamond.
Pulls out a pack like Marlboro Lights. You don't work with Dusty, honey. All right, get out and go to work. I'll
take
be back
more
in
than
2 hours.
Marlboro Lights. That'd be some Reds, baby.
There you go. Some Cowboy Killers, baby.
Yes, they are.
Those were good back in the day.
A delicious cigarette. If you're going to inhale smoke, you might as well inhale the Reds, right?
Yeah, go big or go home.
That's exactly right.
Especially on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So I got my threesome for you right now. And it's got
close.
Me. Got, oh, really?
No.
I'm interested to see where you're going to go with this one. I think I know where you're going to go in this one. But my overarching conversation is, has the game changed in Kansas City? Because if I rolled this threesome out about 5 years ago, I guarantee you one side would win overwhelmingly and we'd be called out on the text line for not being true Kansas Cityans. So here's my Tuesday threesome. Charcoal, gas, or flat top?
I want to go full Fesco. Because isn't gas and flat top essentially the same thing?
Yeah, kind of, but it's not. It's the gas grill like I gave Mac. You know, grilling on gas, flat top, or grilling over.
So I guess
coals.
You could say charcoal, gas grill, or Blackstone. It's essentially
what
we're getting.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Charcoal wins and it's not close.
Okay. Oh, really?
Wow.
See, I thought you were going to go flat top.
Me too.
I 100% thought you'd go flat top.
Me too.
On that
I'm
one.
Surprised. Okay, give me why.
You can run out of propane on the flat top. The charcoal burns.
Mm-hmm.
Prime example, Friday night. Looking at you, Jeremy. His tank ran out. The guy next to us goes, looks like you guys are struggling over there. The grill's still hot if you want to put the sausages and dogs on it.
Oh, you were in the parking lot that ran out.
You know who didn't? Charcoal Weber guy.
Of course. Yeah.
Take that, Hank Hill.
Pretty good.
So I looked at him and I was like, you should have brought the second reserve tank. I didn't think you'd go out in an hour because he bought the tailgate Blackstone. I think it's like 22
comes with those little tanks, right?
Yeah, they say they last an hour.
I have my blowtorch hooked up to them. It's awesome. I go around
sick.
The yard, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it's, awesome. For me, it's charcoal, the flavor, the way that you can do it. I don't even use lighter fluid anymore. You get the little chimney, you stuff it with the newspaper that your mailbox gets stuffed with ads every single week. Burn that sucker, get that charcoal there. You can always add the little briquettes to it. You're always going to have that bag of charcoal. It smells better. It tastes better. You can just do so much with it with indirect, direct heat. I love the Blackstone. I'm going to cook on it tonight, make smash burgers in a different way. But charcoal, you just cannot go wrong. Propane, you can keep it. You can have all you want.
I'm glad you said that because we had a little taste test at the house over the weekend, right?
Okay.
I cooked 3 steaks. I did 2 on charcoal and 1 on the Blackstone.
Okay.
I said, please sample both of these steaks. Tell me which one you like better. 4-1. Because my daughter's friend is living with us at the moment. 4-1, well, they're selling their house and moving out to this farm in Paola, and she doesn't want to drive back and forth to school, and I get all that.
Yeah,
so we're like,
nice.
We got an extra room, just crash here. Larry, awesome. Yo is $700 a night, just so you know.
and one Arrowhead, right?
Yeah, exactly. and not much longer. But I think so. I put the steaks out there. I said, sample them.
Yep.
Overwhelmingly, again, 4-1.
Did you cook them all the same way?
Yeah.
Okay.
They like the flavor of the flat top better than the charcoal.
Better than the charcoal.
Because okay, they're like, I don't like the smoke flavor. I like smoky flavors. I like a smoked old fashioned. I like mezcal, right? I like the smokiness. Yeah. So I'm like, charcoal all the way. This is the way to go. It's outstanding. And the kids and my wife are both like, no, we kind of like the flat top better. It just has more of a neutral flavor. And I said, 5 years ago, we brought this up. We overwhelming charcoal and we'd be ridiculed for even considering using a gas grill, you know, because you're supposed to use the charcoal. I thought for sure Dusty would go flat top on that one. I really did.
Me too.
That's a good change by you. I like that. You had me surprised. I like it. What are you going with?
I think flat top because that's what I don't have and that's what I want. But I mean, I love my gas grill, brother. I'm using it all the time. I used it last night.
It's easy.
It's great.
It's easy. It's perfect. Quick.
I do have like grilling theories. I think if you have the availability or the income to have all three, they all have advantages.
Yes, they do.
Right? Like last night when it was storming, if you have a nice garage space or a well-covered patio, you could have cooked on your flat top or your Blackstone.
Oh, yeah.
If it's nice outside like it might be today, nice little 65, 69-degree day, nice. Mm-hmm. You know, charcoal it up. But if it's the middle of winter and you're like, damn, babe, I really want some burgers and like dogs and stuff, you can go out there in 9-degree weather, hit that little starter, turn that gas on, shut the top, put your stuff on there, get in and get out. You don't have to worry about
it. You have to worry about being out there and supervising. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have advantages. Yeah.
It's true.
But for me, like you cook wings in the oven for an hour, flip them 30 minutes, start your charcoal grill, get that nice char on the wings. You ain't get that on the flat top. You're going to get char, mm-hmm. but you're not going to get that smoke, that charcoal, that grill, that, you know, that sort of thing.
Smash.
And you can do ribs on your grill.
Yeah, you can't do ribs on the flat top either. I have attempted to no avail to do ribs on the grill, but
your ribs are not like Frankie's from Barstool.
Yeah.
Just black.
You can't do it on the flat top though?
What, ribs?
Yeah.
Just, again, like we're getting into more and more, but like the Traeger's, like to me, one of the greatest inventions of all time, because no offense, but you guys have never cooked ribs.
Right.
Probably you would make 5-star ribs on a Traeger.
Yeah.
You'd put them on there for 6 hours, cover them after 3, spray them with apple juice after 2, sauce them, take them off, be like, Dusty's a liar. He doesn't know how to cook. He just has a Traeger. Hey, man, Chiefs aren't good. They just have Patrick Mahomes, the Traeger of quarterbacks.
Right. The Traeger of quarterbacks.
Set it and forget it.
So if you were going to have, you could only have one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going with the charcoal grill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever, never until I die. I'm a Weber guy in my heart. I'll never go away from I'll have a Weber grill until I absolutely. I had a tailgate Weber grill in college that I cooked steaks on in front of my door in my apartment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just love them.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you. If I had to get rid of everything and could only have one, it would probably be the charcoal grill. Yeah.
Okay. We've got a couple here from the text line. The 816, flat top is not grilling.
It's not.
Okay, so you'd agree.
It's
just cooking?
Cooking.
Yeah. It's just cooking.
Which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Because I'll make you fajitas on a Blackstone, and you'll be like, holy smokes, I need one of these.
Yeah, right. It's like, it's crazy now because you have to have a certain $400 appliance to get what you want. You want ribs, you got to have a Traeger.
I mean, you can have a Weber grill. I can teach you how to make them on a Weber grill. Yeah. They're just not going to be as good as the Traeger. Like brisket, tough cook. But if you have a Traeger, a Pit Boss, or a pellet smoker, like it's easy.
Weber's new pellet grill, best invention by man.
Now, somebody was telling me, my man Barry over at the J was like, dude, you got a Blackstone? He goes, I got the Weber flat top, and it's better.
Oh, damn.
And that's the thing, too. You can go buy like a cast iron for your gas grill or for anything. Cast iron, the best part about that is everything stays there. And you can cook mass amounts on it. Uh-huh. And it's an even cook all the way around. Whereas, like, your grill, one side's going to be hotter than the other. And you got to, you know, if you're cooking a steak and you leave it over here too long, mm-hmm. like, the outside of that ribeye, that spinella, that nice meat around the center of the ribeye, that gets too charred. It's not good. You put that on, like, the outside of the heat, let it just warm up in there. Money in the bank. Show you what you drank.
Why you buy a combo grill? Gas and charcoal and a smoker. Love our Joe's grill.
Okay. Yeah.
Combo grill.
These are good. My dad has, well, he doesn't have the combo, but he has like the combo grill smoker. where you've got the little smoker section over here. You can put your wood chips and all that.
Yeah.
Green eggs are nice, too. I just don't have the sort of money.
I don't have that kind of dough either. Like,
those are money, though. The green egg is, it's dope.
Yeah. And that's like the one where, like, you're not supposed to buy the generic version.
No, you go all out.
You go all out with the green egg, yeah.
Put all that wood down there in the bottom. Put that grate down there. Put your meat. Put the top. Close that egg. Watch the little temperature gauge, and you're good.
But here, and again, it's another device that you need to have. I mean, there's so many damn things out there. That's why if you're going to go one, I think the charcoal grill is probably the all-encompassing, most universal of them all.
I'm thankful for the propane grill you gave me, man. It's been awesome. Great. So I appreciate it. A lot of pellet smoker texts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is it okay to use the pellets now? Because I know when they first came out, people said, that's not really barbecuing. Mm. That's not really smoking.
Gotcha.
Well, that's what the text line says. Traeger guys claim they smoke meats, but knowing nothing actually about it, they just press a button and they're not doing it.
So what's wrong with that? Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. No doubt. It's like DJs aren't musicians. They just push buttons.
Yeah, dude, I'm watering my plants. I have no idea what photosynthesis is. I have no idea what's happening, but the plants are growing. I'm excited about it,
dude. More like borophyll.
Yeah, right.
Stop talking to me. Why? Because you're a loser.
Chlorophyll? Yeah. More like borophyll, am I right?
No, I will not make out with you. From 2000 to today, build your best Chiefs offense. We'll do it here on Fesco and Dusty, and I promise you there won't be one guy on there named Chlorophyll.
No.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96 by the Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 the Fan.